So Francine, this is something I do. I don't know if I've ever sent you a voicemail, but I do it frequently, actually. And it's kind of a precursor to Clubhouse. I've been looking for you on Clubhouse last, I don't know, 24 hours or so. I've been doing a lot of driving this last couple of days because of a my car. An animal died in my car, and it's like I have had something like this happen once before at my house in Woodside, California, which was in the woods. And some animal crawled into my oven and died, stove and oven. And it was kind of a cheap stove. So I just bought a new stove and had it replaced because it made the whole house smell. And it took a while for the smell to dissipate. And so I've had the car worked on now and gotten the animals. There were several mice who died in the car in the air conditioning system. And they replaced the filters, but the car, it just, God, it's awful. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't throw away the car like I threw away the stove. I mean, the stove was worth a couple $100, maybe, maybe a little bit more, but I mean, this is a nice car. So anyway, so I've been listening to Clubhouse, but not contributing, just kind of lurking, because I don't know, because when I'm driving, I don't feel like contributing. And I came across this thing where there was a channel that was described as discussing the DNC. And I thought, wow, this will be interesting because this was Tuesday. And the DNC on Monday was phenomenal. I mean, it was just so much to talk about and so surprising that it was so good. I mean, I like the DNC. I haven't always, but after I've been to a couple of them, I really appreciate the art of it and the purpose of it and the inspiration of it, to be honest. I mean, I have seen some incredible speeches at the DNC, and Monday night was no exception. I mean, especially Michelle Obama, riveting fucking speech. I mean, just the kind of had my attention the way very few things do these days. I mean, I remember watching the movie The Departed like this for the whole movie. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat the whole movie, trying to soak in every detail of what they were doing because there was so much incredible talent and experience in that movie. It was the peak performance for a lot of people, and then all of them put together, it was just something. And the same thing for Michelle Obama. I mean, you might argue, I mean, first of all, she says she doesn't like politics, but excuse me. She is incredible at politics. So, I mean, they're all facets of politics, right? I mean, it's like saying, anything. I mean, anything that requires a lot of different talents to make it work, you can pick it up a dozen different ways. But for sure, what she was doing there was politics, and it was masterful. That was the word I used for her speech. I mean, it masterful in the sense that it really covered everything in terms of emotion, which is really, when you come down to it, great political oratory is about emotion. It's about, and but not, it's important that it not just be emotion. Your intellect has to be engaged too, and so that it doesn't veto the emotion. I mean, in my case, if I'm being bullshitted, that really colors my emotion. And it's my intellect that tells me whether I'm being bullshitted or not, I mean, example, today's daily podcast was terrible, really terrible. I mean, I don't think they, in this case, I don't think the reporter, and I think in many other cases, I don't think the reporter was reading anything but what was appearing in the New York Times because they missed a story that was in the Philadelphia Inquirer, which I was received pointers to multiple times, so they must have too. It had an important fact that would have changed the whole story. And would it change the whole story? I mean, their conclusion was nothing really here. The U.S. Postal Service is going to do what they were going to do, and what Trump did didn't really have any effect on anything. And even if it did, it would hurt Republicans as much as it would Democrats. And that was the point they got wrong. Because according to a survey done by The Economist, which is a very respected publication, and quoted by The Inquirer, so presumably they reviewed what The Economist had done, that 18% of Republicans expect to vote by mail versus 59% of Democrats. Let's do that again. 18% of Republicans, 59% of Democrats. So if Trump can disable the post office, I think he won the election. I think it's that simple. Look at the numbers. On the other hand, and this has been pointed out elsewhere, that if he doesn't disable vote by mail and it goes through and everything works, he just ensured that he lost the election because he's been, I mean, why are only 18% of Republicans planning to vote by mail? It's because they were listening to Trump. Trump told them not to do it. He said, it's not safe. You can't do it. They'll steal your vote. Well, then only 18% of the people decided, what the fuck, I'll vote that way anyway. So they listened to Trump, and Trump, if the post office remains intact, which according to the New York Times, no problem. According to everyone else, problem. Anyway, none of this is the reason why I picked up the phone today to leave you this voicemail, which, as far as I'm concerned at this point, I'm going to turn into a podcast because nothing confidential here. I tuned into a chat labeled, you know, the yesterday's DNC, and it was just a bunch of reporters yakking away with their normal bullshit, self-aggrandizement, bragging. And I heard you trying to get a word in there, and every time you started talking, I think it was one guy, I don't know, maybe there were two, I can't tell them apart. he was just waiting for his instant where he was just going to roll right over you and just keep talking and talking. Basically, just the moment you caught your breath, he would just resume what he was talking about before. I mean, and it was two or three times this happened, and I'm going, well, and I'm listening to him, and he's talking about garbage, Francine. And I realized, this is reporting. I'm so glad Clubhouse is doing its job. It's letting me hear the back channel between reporters, which my visual for this is two barbers cutting each other's hair. And in this case, not because there weren't other people around wanting haircuts. I mean, you might reason that a reporter in this situation would shut the fuck up and let people talk and fucking listen to what they say. Because, you know, they're always saying, oh, this is what the people think. Well, this is how uninterested they are in what the people think. Because here was an incredibly fertile subject area because what had happened the night before was so remarkable. I didn't begin to mention what was remarkable about it. What was remarkable about it is it didn't suck. You know, I mean, I had assumed that it was all going to be a big zero. That, you know, a DNC held on the internet would be garbage. And not any fault of the Democrats, it's just nobody knows how to do it, right? And so the first time you do it, you know, it's going to suck, right? Quite the opposite. It was phenomenal. I mean, that would be the top line, but... Well, these guys were talking about their theories about Trump and China and why the Democrats won't say anything about it. I mean, it's all inside bullshit. And of course, the story isn't about the inside bullshit. The story is, wow, these guys really, I mean, first of all, why is it surprising that it worked? It is, it shouldn't be surprising because the Democrats have it's like California in August and September and October after a very wet winter and a dry summer and the fires, you know? I mean, the fires, it would be very easy for, it should be very easy for the Democrats to present a very strong case this year because people are getting poor, people are worried about getting sick. Some people are getting sick. Some people are dying. There are actually cases where you can point to where innocent people died because they listened to Trump. That was incredible, right? It had nothing to do with policy. It had nothing to do with China. It had nothing to do with the normal bullshit that reporters talk about. It had to do with the people. And, you know, the problem with government and journalism is they kind of think they've figured out how to do it without the people. And so they've invented this world where they think they're reporting on stuff that actually matters. It matters to some extent, but it doesn't matter, and they even say as much, in determining how people vote. It has nothing to do with it. Even farmers in Iowa, whose businesses have gotten wrecked by his trade policies with China, aren't going to vote based on that. They'll vote on other criteria, although probably at least some of them will vote their pocketbook because maybe they thought Trump was amusing, but it wasn't very funny once it put their farm out of business. I mean, you have to figure some of it, you know, who's going to rub off on Trump, right? But I just thought it was incredible theater. And a second point, this is something, I had this experience the first time when Hillary Clinton was debating Bernie Sanders in the spring of 2016. And Hillary Clinton was my candidate. I thought Bernie Sanders was a disaster, certain to lose to Trump. I mean, not even really worth betting on because I know, having lived in this country my whole life and having voted only in this country ever, and having read, you know, I'm just going to say, I think I understand to some degree how politics works in the United States. And while a small portion of Americans are ready for Bernie Sanders, there isn't enough to elect him. Even if I thought he was the best choice, which I didn't, I still wouldn't have voted for him because I wouldn't have thought that was the slightest. I think it's like leading with your chin. It's like saying, please hit me. Please prove to me that I can elect somebody so unpleasant that you actually will completely vote against your interest and vote for some dickhead like Trump. I felt Sanders would have no chance. But this is what I saw, and it was an eye-opener, was because I was supporting the hell out of a woman candidate. That's supporting the hell out of is the term. I don't identify with her. I'm not Hillary Clinton, but she was my candidate. And the way he talked over her and invaded her space, his arms flew into her space while he was talking. He was yelling and screaming. And I thought to myself, my God, if she did any of this, she'd get excoriated. But people aren't even noticing that he's doing this. I mean, that was the amazing thing. Similarly, Francine, you were being very pleasant. And you didn't seem to mind being interrupted like that. But I wanted to hear what you were going to say, and I was completely, totally uninterested in what the creepy reporters, all their self-aggrandizing crap about China and trade and how none of this has anything to do with the DNC, by the way, but we thought we would just go on and on and on and on and on about it because blah, 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 blah. We're great, I'm great, you're great, nobody else exists, this is it. How would you like your hair done, Mr. Other Barber? These people are jokes and yuck. So I wanted to say I support the hell out of you and Francine, and thanks for being so patient, and thanks for showing me something that I wanted to see. I mean, I don't doubt that it would have been a lot more interesting if they were actually talking about the incredible DNC that had happened the night before, but there was something interesting there. And as often is the case, a new medium has shown us something new, which is actually kind of awesome. All right. Thanks very much. And talk to you later. Bye.